Ted Brower with the Brower Report. Today is Thursday, October the 22nd, 2015. We've had an exciting day. We've got an exciting guest on today. In a few moments, we'll be introducing Sheila Zielinski, a good friend of mine. I've been on her show many times. One of the top patriots in the movement all throughout the United States. Has been on with Steve Quayle. Has had Steve Quayle on her show. Has been on with Hagman repeatedly, Dave Hodges. Sounds like we're all part of the same family here. We all know the same people who do the same shows. But this morning, it was, and also my son Austin is going to be with us again today because he's the co-host of the show, The Brower Report.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
But this morning was exciting. At 7 o'clock, I was awakened. I mean, I got to tell you guys a story real quick, and not that you want to listen to my story, but it's just this is kind of what we'd have to do here. We have to share with you what's going on. We're at the 7 o'clock this morning. I get a phone call from my mother-in-law, and she can't get out of bed. She's extremely weak. My wife and I immediately, she lives like two doors down, rush down to see if she's okay. And sure enough, she's in bed and she can't get out of bed and she's extremely dizzy and weak. So we call the ambulance. And we have a choice of like several hospitals in the area, Winter Haven, Lakeland, and Celebration. Well, Winter Haven Hospital and Lakeland Hospital, they've been known to have major problems with staff and with MRSA. And they're all about the same distance, and Celebration's probably about an extra 5 minutes away. And so I asked the paramedics when they got there, and she was fine and she was stable. I said, we want her taken to the Celebration Hospital in Celebration, Florida, just next to Disney World, which is literally 5 minutes further than the other two hospitals. And they said, we can't do that. We basically are going to take her to the other two hospitals. And I said, absolutely not. So this goes on for 15, 20 minutes, me arguing what hospital she's going to go to. Finally, they call a supervisor, and he says, oh, we don't care where we take her. We just charge you by the mile anyhow. And so, Austin, if I make any of this stuff up, you were there too. You can tell.
I'll talk to him.
so we end up going to the hospital. I guess they took the long way because they could charge more miles. We actually beat them there by almost 10 minutes, and we were driving the speed limit. Finally, they show up. They're unloading her. So I'm sitting in the front, so they valet park the car, and I run inside the hospital. And everybody's like in surgical gowns, masks, gloves. I mean, in the front reception area by the door. And I'm like, what the heck's going on in here? You guys are like in full quarantine. So I walked back out of the hospital. The guy was leading with my car. And I said to him, I said, stop. I'm not sitting in there. I'm thinking I made a hospital mistake this morning. Shouldn't even be here. I said, you guys are in full surgical masks and scrubs and gloves at the front door. I said, this is kind of weird. I'm going to sit in my car in case there's something really bad going through this hospital. So the guy stops. He's driving out of the parking lot. I yell at him. He stops. He gets out of the car, and I'm sitting in the car. So now I'm sending out all my texts to all my friends, everybody to pray for my mother-in-law. My windows are down. It's a beautiful day. It's about 70 degrees. And all of a sudden I hear the guy goes, well, about 30 minutes ago, we just had an Ebola patient come walking through the front door. And I'm like, what? And so I said, this is nuts. And so the guy standing beside me talking with my windows open. I hear him. I said, dude, I said, I got to ask you a question. I said, Ebola? He goes, yeah. He said, that car right there, that guy drove up, he's got Ebola, man. He just came out of Africa, full-blown Ebola going on, and he's walked in the front door. And I'm like, and the guy who moved his car was? And he goes, well, the valet. And I said, you mean the valet who moved my car is the valet who moved the Ebola patient's car? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, gosh, now they're bringing me out these cotton blankets basically covered in alcohol, and they're swabbing down the entire inside of the car. I'm getting swabbed down. The car's getting swabbed down. And my response is, don't you think it would have been a good idea if the Ebola guy who drove the Ebola car doesn't drive somebody else's car, just maybe? And so I'm sitting there going, this is ridiculous. And I think to myself, well, my immune system is through the roof, so I'll be fine. This is absolutely insane. This is happening now at this hospital. And finally the guy walks out and he goes, oh, by the way, we just want to let you know this is a drill. Nobody here has Ebola. And I'm like, this is just nuts. So that was my morning, Sheila. So I called up Sheila earlier. She was doing the show with me today. And I said, Sheila, you know, you're going to have to carry the show for me today. It's been one of those days as far as prep time for me. And so I just took a nap, got out of bed, and contacted Sheila and said, we got our show ready to go. So, Sheila, I want to thank you so much for the timing and being on the show today. And so, no, there was no Ebola in the hospital. Yes, I got to go to my hospital of choice. And my mother-in-law is doing well. They can't find anything wrong with her. And, of course, that's the power of prayer as far as I'm concerned. And so they're keeping her for overnight for more testing and more observations. So I want to thank you for coming on with me today, Sheila. And of course, I'm always happy that you're with me co-hosting the show, Austin. So rather than drag this introduction out, Sheila Zielinski, thank you for being on. Thank you for being here today. How would you like to start the show today, Sheila?
Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to be on with you today. Well, I mean, of course, I would like to get into this very nefarious green agenda. I did write a book on it, and of course I could talk all day on this remarkable subject. So that's really where I want to go with this green tsunami of globalism, Ted, that's hidden under the guise of the very seemingly benevolent saving the planet mantra, and that's what I want to get in today.
Sheila, go ahead and tell me, what's the Green Agenda all about? Does it have its roots in Agenda 21? Is it all about enslaving humanity? Is it all about putting us into big cities and turning the rest of the planet into a wildlife preserve for the global elite to run around on? What's the goal here? What's the purpose? Why are they doing this?
Well, so I'm a former high-level government executive, and I worked for Environment. And so, of course, I had discovered some confidential information, Ted, back in 2005 and again in 2007, which was subsequently which made me resign from that position. And after that, I was really compelled to speak out against this fraud of anthropogenic global warming and the entire Green Agenda. So anthropogenic is just a fancy term for man is causing it. So one of the things that has really stunned me out there is a lot of people are talking about saving the planet, eco-friendly, carbon neutral, minimize your carbon footprint. Eco-friendly. Doesn't that sound good, Ted? But when you scratch the surface of what this really is, you know, I mean, obviously your listeners are well aware that I know so because obviously they listen to you. So they know there exists this group of not even so clandestine, self-proclaiming ruling oligarchs. We know that because, you know, obviously if they're listening to you, Ted, you're aware of this. But here's the piece that I don't think a lot of people make the connection with. These people are, in fact, soulless pagans with designs on completely reshaping the world into a state of complete global governance. And if people don't know that, they can go back and look at this climate encyclical that good old Pope Francis, who, by the way, he hijacked his title off St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the Friar Monks, because he said, you know, we've got a responsibility ultimately to save the planet. Now think about, Ted, how arrogant it is to say you're going to do anything about climate change. Climate's been changing since God created the earth. So when Obama embarrassed himself in the reporter last week, said, well, what do you think of the fact that Vladimir Putin is really embarrassing you, isn't he? And he said, the U.S. is leading on climate change. That was his big response. So again, you see this mantra woven into everything. So what my book does, Ted, is it really shows that the Green Agenda is essentially really the grandest of all tyrannical schemes. It's the biggest fraud that we've ever seen in our entire era. So I follow the history of the process of how it came to be and where it's going in the future. And so back to this Pope's encyclical, he basically issued something in June that shocked the world when he kind of put his moral authority, his moral clout behind a 192-page kind of like, hey, listen up, Catholics, 1.2 billion Catholics, you better start saving the planet, you better do it, and you better like it. That's essentially what he did, Ted.
You better do it, you better like it, you better go back to feudalism, and you better become our slave, or we're going to have to kill everybody. I guess that's pretty much the mantra that he's established for us.
Well, yeah, and he's a very, very, you know, he seems so benevolent. He's man of the year. He's on Time magazine with his face plastered over the covers of all these magazines, and everybody loves him. But what does the Bible say? You know, friendship with the world is enmity with God. So, I mean, I called one of my chapters watermelons. So, obviously, aesthetically, when you look at a watermelon, it looks green on the outside, but when you cut it open, it's very red. So that's when I say, you know, I really explain in my book, you know, I say in order to understand the Green Agenda, it's critical to know that the ideas of Karl Marx, and it's red on the inside, because Karl Marx's Marxist manifesto is really intertwined in this Green Agenda. I was going to call my book Blue Planet in Green Shackles, but the reason I called it Green Gospel, Ted, is really this has become an absolute religion. It's become, environmentalism has become a religion to these people. Even just 2 months before he resigned in February of this year, the United Nations IPCC, for people that don't know, it's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which I call them the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Crooks, but they're supposed to be these, you know, the gold standard, the top climate scientists. So Rajendra Pachauri, who, by the way, is not only the chair of the UN's IPCC, but this guy is a railway engineer with no science background. So why is a railway engineer leading the top gold standard, as Obama calls it, on climate change. Well, he said in a farewell speech, and this is in the New York Times, the protection of planet Earth, the survival of all the species, and the sustainability of our ecosystems, it's more than my personal mission. It is my religion. People can look that up. So, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the fact that this has become a pagan, godless, pantheistic religion that goes all the way back to Nimrod, Ted.
Explain how it goes back to Nimrod. Give us a timeline, kind of abbreviated all the way back to Nimrod, if you could do that for me in a quick period of time, Sheila, because I don't think people understand what this means as far as the druidic worship, all the stuff that started through Nimrod, all of the human sacrifice, all of this stuff, all these sacrifices to Baal. What happened with Nimrod? Was it the fallen angels that started all this mess? Why are they trying to turn God's plan upside down? And why are they telling us about climate change when they're the ones that are polluting us with chemtrails every day, soaking us down in barium and aluminum salts, and why they're poisoning us on an ongoing basis, and yet they come across with this mantra of climate change? What's the purpose of this? Because obviously they don't care about the climate, Sheila. So what's their ultimate goal here?
Well, the ultimate goal is a one-world climate authority. That's really how they want to bring in one-world government. But it's not just that. You know, in my book, I don't get into this really, I don't develop this a lot, but I do say that this all really started, although I kind of take it from Marx and up, but it really started in the ancient pantheistic religions that dominated the Egyptian, Babylonian, Grecian, and Roman empires. That's really where it started, with the Moabites, the Amorites, the Moloch worshippers, and some of those, you know, pagan groups from the time of Moses. And Lot, who was Adam's nephew, was really the progenitor of the Ammonites. So I kind of go in a little bit into that, but I kind of move up into history and explain how it really got kick-started with Karl Marx. Of course, everyone knows that Marx sort of began his rebellion against God as a student at the University of Berlin. And that's where he was really strongly influenced by the philosopher George Hegel. And of course, you know, the young Hegelians, their goal was pretty straightforward. It was eliminate Christianity. So Marx and Engels, they came up with the Communist Manifesto in 1848. And in there, what they say is they want a new world order. That's what they were talking about, suppressing capitalism. They interwove socialism and Darwinism. And it's really interesting because, you know, it allowed them to think they could play God, and with their sort of irreligious science and technology, they could control nature. Well, again, we go back to this ludicrous claim that anybody thinks they're going to stop climate change. I mean, that's just completely ridiculous. So Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, they really appealed to the founders of collectivism. Now, collectivism, just another word for the very opposite of individualism. It'd be like the fact that it'd be like if you really, really hated capitalism, which is, as we see in the United States, that's a basic system. Well, they abhor it. That is their absolute arch nemesis, is conservative Christians that support capitalism. So, you know, Stalin, I mean, think about that. People, they don't understand this, but it doesn't take a person to commit the deaths for them to get the blame of it. I mean, probably Stalin, you know, maybe he indirectly or directly murdered more people than any other leader in history. But what he did is he took control. And that, you know, Machiavelli observed that one who deceives will always find those who allow themselves to be deceived. So what happened was Paul Ehrlich, a very devious man, he was a real supporter of depopulation. In fact, he wrote a book called Population Bomb, and he said the highest priority in the world should be depopulation. And Paul Ehrlich wrote a book with another devious, insidious individual named John Holdren, who subsequently is Obama's handpicked science czar. And they said in that book, you know, we should consider things like forced sterilizations, vaccinations, you know. And of course, Dr. Henry Kissinger, what did he write in 1974? He wrote that depopulation should be the highest part of the U.S. foreign policy. And actually, in his foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, he helped fund the German eugenics program. And that even ended up, you know, Joseph Mengele worked in before he went to Auschwitz. So, I mean, this is really an insidious pack of real hucksters that we're dealing with, Ted.
Well, you know what's interesting, Sheila? The entire eugenics protocol started in California, and it worked its way to Germany from California. And they were so impressed with the way Hitler had taken the ball and run with it. I guess Germans are pretty efficient. And so when they decided to start killing people, they're pretty efficient at that too, or depopulation. And they were actually writing in the eugenics magazines, of course, Margaret Sanger was in the middle of all this, about how wonderful Germany was and how they were leading the world as far as teaching the world how to do eugenics properly. But it started, the roots of eugenicism started in the United States. Of course, it started with Darwinism first, then moved over here in the late 1800s. And like you said, the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, all of these things are just steeped in this eugenics protocol. And then the Rockefeller Foundation, they wanted to get rid of all of the homeopathic doctors and the, you know, naturopathic doctors, and they wanted to go all straight allopathic as far as just straight medical doctors, in which they wanted to make sure that everybody was on a protocol of using drugs, which is incredibly bad. Like this morning, the first thing I did is I told the doctor, the attending physician there at Celebration, I said, absolutely under no circumstances do you give my mother-in-law a flu shot. And he goes, well, that's routine. We give everybody a flu shot when they come through the doors. And I said, absolutely not. No flu shots. And he goes, well, we're opposed to that. We want her to have a flu shot. I said, I don't care what you're opposed to. I don't want to have a flu shot because she's 80 years old. Three flu shots in a row increase the risks of senile dementia by 50%. She doesn't need all that aluminum and all that thimerosal injected into her body. So no flu shots. We don't want her put, we don't want mercury in her neural tissue. And he goes, okay, we'll put in the charts, no flu shots. But that's how adamant you've got to be, Sheila, with this Rockefeller medical complex that's running the world now, especially in the United States and in Europe, and forcing people into all these immunizations and all these little, literally chemical, I almost call them chemical lobotomies, in which they basically are, if you get enough of them, but these, this chemical, they want to make everybody infertile and sterilization campaign.
Absolutely. And that's really part of this depopulation piece. But, you know, you're right. You talked about basically Julian Huxley. Well, here's the thing, you know, you've got the stench of Hitler's mass murderous frenzy still really heavy in the air. So what is Sir Julian Huxley? Yes, related to Aldous Huxley. What did he do? Well, he was a previous head of the Eugenics Society. So what does he do? He makes a smooth transition into pushing depopulation through UNESCO. So he headed that up in 1946 after, of course, Hitler's genocidal frenzy. So, you know, he's thinking, well, yeah, the, I mean, Hitler really gave eugenics a bad name. Well, of course, Huxley was a fan of Thomas Malthus, who was a reverend that supported depopulation as well. In fact, Paul Ehrlich was a huge fan of Thomas Malthus. This guy, every prediction this guy ever made was wrong, something like the IPCC at the UN today. But in 1961, Sir Julian Huxley, he became the president of the Eugenics Society of Great Britain. And you're right, then it came, of course, to California, Ted. So, you know, you've got this collaboration with Britain's Prince Philip, who's, you know, he's always known as saying, well, I'd really like to come back as a deadly virus to wipe out the world population. And his pal Slick Willie Gates there, who's just got a penchant for vaccinating everyone. And, of course, he's a big guy pushing depopulation. You know, their good old Georgia Guidestones wants a population, a nice little manageable group size of about 500 million, depending on who you talk to. But that's a far cry from 7 billion people. So you've got this, you know, card-carrying Nazi Prince Bernard of the Netherlands. You've got the CEO of Royal Dutch Shell and chairman of Shell Oil Company, John Loudon. You've got Bernard. You've got, you know, Prince Philip. You've got all these devilish people. And, you know, and you were talking about Hitler there. The truth is, Ted, that the National Socialist Party was an ancient fertility cult brought up to date under the scientific guise of eugenics. This is a fact. They wanted to make sacrifices for the fecundity of nature. And that goes back to, you know, because in his social Darwinism, Hitler complained that Christianity itself was a protest against nature. So you kind of could say that Hitler really was one of the big, huge environmentalists. He really, you know, he said that is the weakness of the modern Western world. And that's why they'll never get anywhere, is because they're anti-nature influences of Christianity. That was what he said.
Well, you're absolutely right. And what's interesting, too, people don't understand, they were going back, they weren't, they were going pre-Christianity. They were going back to the Druidic worship of Northern Germany and of England. They were, that's where their whole mindset was going, with this Aryan God stuff that they were involved in. And it was all going back to nature. And talking about Stalin and Hitler, you know, Hitler was bad. He killed probably 20 million people in total. Stalin, we know, just conservative estimates are 40 to 50 million. Some estimates go as high as 100 million people were killed in the Russian Revolution, you know, and with Stalin and all the other things that were going on all the way back from the early 1900s when they had the overthrow of the Tsar, and this, just the massive, massive amounts of people that were being killed. I mean, Stalin would literally, he literally killed almost all of his officers because they didn't want to do what he wanted to do. And then if their troops marched into battle and they retreated, they'd shoot them while they were retreating. I mean, this guy was unbelievable the way he wiped out so many people, and they were primarily Christians that he's wiped out, Sheila. So tell the world the truth about what Stalin did and how he was, he made Hitler look like he was small change. But the reality is, because Hitler was fighting against us and Stalin was, quote, fighting for us, we don't want to talk about who Stalin really was and why Hitler was fighting against him and fighting against communism. It was like two forces of evil that went against each other, and we chose the, what we thought at that time, the lesser of the evil. Now, the second thing I want to mention, and I want you to go into detail with this, tell me about Vladimir Putin, because he is coming across now like he doesn't want to deal with this. He wants to have people start having babies. He wants to reinstate Christianity as a national religion. He wants everybody to start going back to church. He's telling everybody that Russia worships God and worships Jesus, and that the United States is worshiping Lucifer, and he wants nothing to do with it. I mean, is this more obfuscation of this globalist agenda, or is this guy for real, or what's going on? Because so many people are asking me that question, Sheila.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's all just the left and right wing of the same ugly bird, Ted. I think that it's just more smoke and mirrors, obfuscation. Yeah. You know, I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Russia's Putin was head at, you know, if he was the head dude in our country, wouldn't be having this conversation. So, you know, I mean, got to remember this guy is former KGB. When you look at some of his past, I mean, this guy is not exactly a saint himself. So I'm very skeptical of Putin. But I wonder if this whole Putin-Obama thing is not just smoke and mirrors, Ted. That's what I wonder.
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but I hate to say this, and Lord forgive me if I'm wrong. Obama's the bottom of the barrel. Well, except for Hillary. Hillary's worse than Obama, okay? I think they're both sock puppets for Satan, and I don't even think the globalists want Hillary in, because I don't think they can trust her. But if I had to choose two leaders right now from what they say openly, it would be Vladimir Putin. And I know that sounds weird, and a lot of my listeners would get really mad at me because I just said that. But I'm telling you what, from what I've read and what I've read and what I've read, I mean, Vladimir Putin had enough of this ISIL crap, went in there and bombed the crap out of these people, said, okay, by the way, I'll show you how to do this in 1 week. I mean, this never-ending barrage of lies from the mainstream media, which is all government-controlled propaganda. That's all it is, Sheila. It's all one big giant lie, one big giant obfuscation. And I'm not saying that Russia's media is any better than that, but what I'm saying is this. The Russian media and the American media and all of this stuff was all fashioned after Joseph Goebbels and his Nazi propaganda campaign that he started back in the 30s with Adolf Hitler. And now we have an entire media system in the United States and globally that is just one giant lie after the other. I mean, look at the trade that's going on right now between the United States and China and everywhere else, and how it's completely depressed, and the Baltic Dry Index is so low. And they're saying, oh, the economy's doing great. The economy's doing great. I got a news flash. The economy's not doing great. And we're being told continual lies, continual lies, continual lies. In fact, Michael Schneider from the Economic Collapse blog, he talks about this and writes about all of this all the time. And he keeps saying, he goes, well, I don't know what the numbers are they're looking at, but the numbers I'm looking at says it's not doing great. And we need to all wake up and realize that this never-ending fiat currency debt load that we have in the United States because of the Federal Reserve octopus, satanic vampire squid, whatever you want to call it, is struggling, is strangling the United States. How does it all tie in with the giant octopus squid that's the vampire that's sucking the blood out of the planet and the global green agenda, Sheila? How do those two tie together?
Well, global is the key piece. So it's about global government. And so what is the best way to implement global government? Well, it's to think about this for a sec. What you breathe out is CO2. So what the EPA did is they demonized that. They went to court and they got what you breathe out, that God-given necessary byproduct for human life. They got that classified as a harmful pollutant. That is hard enough to wrap your head around. So what happened? I mean, and that's the ironic thing is, you know, if you look at climatological and geological experts, they say, listen, people, shifts in CO2 have no relationship to global warming or climate change. In fact, if you look over the history, Ted, in every record from any time period in the Earth's history, temperature increases before CO2 does, but that's not what the IPCC is saying. They're claiming that CO2 increases when temperatures increase, and they're saying essentially CO2 causes the Earth to get warmer. So the most fundamental assumption of their claim is absolutely wrong. And the
another thing too, let me give it, because a lot of people don't have the science background. When you breathe out CO2, carbon dioxide, God set it in balance with the planet. The plants breathe in carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen. I mean, without CO2, the plants would all die. I mean, this is the nuttiest thing. So if we increase CO2 emissions from human beings, we increase plants being grown and more oxygen for the people on the planet, the humans. And our oxygen levels are like at an all-time low in this country right now. Our CO2 levels are extremely low compared to where they've been before in Earth's history. And so the craziest thing is, the lower the oxygen goes, the worse it's going to be. So the more plants they kill with global warming is, quote unquote, this all these chemtrails and everything they're doing. They're actually deforesting the country right now with the chemtrails in the United States, which is decreasing oxygen load right now. And so we actually need more CO2 to get these plants healthy again. And they don't want to talk about this stuff, Sheila.
Well, let's put it this way, Ted. CO2 is plant food.
That's right.
It's necessary for life. So if we start decreasing CO2, there'll be no plants and no humans. That's the short version.
Pretty much.
You know, like Obama talks about carbon pollution. Now, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, because he thinks he's saying carbon dioxide pollution, but carbon is a solid while carbon dioxide is a gas. They're not the same thing at all. And Gore refers to carbon dioxide as being global warming pollution. So, you know, CO2 is not a pollutant. It is a vital atmospheric trace gas that, as you said so well, is essential for plant life and life on this planet. Without CO2, we'd all be dead. You know, so Gore would like you to believe that the very thing you exhale is problematic because you breathe. You're a problem, Ted. You beer guzzling, well, you don't drink beer, but you know, resource depleting, useless eating pleb. I mean, that's what we're cannon fodder to these people. So, you know, what's interesting is America, as we know on the whole, has become increasingly corrupt. I mean, you mentioned, you know, good old Hitlery, the butcher of Benghazi. You know, she's right following lockstep with Saul Alinsky's dictum that, hey, the end justifies the means. So if it takes lies, well, then that's acceptable, because telling a lie, it's, as Saul Alinsky says in his book, it's fine as long as the end justifies the means. You know, Al Gore in his book, this is really so fascinating. And of course, we know he's kind of the poster child charlatan for, you know, global warming. He actually went from global warming to climate change to climate disruption. And now he said a couple months ago on the Jimmy Fallon show, Jimmy, we're in a climate crisis. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was on the next night. I don't know when Arnie became a climatologist, but he said, you know, humans are causing it. The science is settled. I mean, this is all be bad. You know, the Terminator is going to fight global warming. He said, you know, I've been in a lot of horror movies, but the biggest horror is climate change. Well,
The biggest horror is Marie Shriver having to deal with Arnold Schwarzenegger having sex with his maid. That's the biggest horror we've got out there. Austin, what do you think about all the stuff with climate change? You've been very patient listening here. What do you think
about
all this?
I'm just taking it all in, man. Well, one thing that I was going to ask Sheila that I thought about that is interesting is we have, you know, she mentioned the EPA, and I was reading an article the other day how it was stating that the EPA has their own almost special operations task force. And they're basically acquiring machine guns, body armor, amphibious assault vehicles, night vision. I mean, pretty much everything our United States military spec op guys run, the EPA is now acquiring this. What is their reasoning for this? Are they really planning on trying to go that hard on the American public about this? Or is it just they're building more arms to try and, you know, stock up supplies? I mean, what's the point of all that?
Well, it's kind of like, what it reminds me, Austin, is when you saw the last rancher standing last year. I had him on my show, Clive and Bundy, sort of the sixth-generation Nevada rancher. What happened was, get this, the Land Bureau, the Land Management Bureau, the BLM, swooped in with, what the heck? These guys had sniper rifles and AMRAPs. I mean, come on. That was stunning to people that these federal bureaucratic investigation units inside these government agencies that are, I mean, sniper rifles, MRAPs, and tanks and armored cars. Are you kidding me? This sounds like a convoy movie gone wrong. And so these guys, I believe that the EPA and the BLM and all these places are acquiring this for exactly that. So they can come in and, hey, if you have a puddle on your property, we're going to shut you down. We can detain you under the NDAA, the TPP. It's all a culmination and a coalescence to really absolutely make it so that everyone can be just rounded up, whether they have a puddle on their property. I know that they have actually jailed a man in the Midwest. I got an email sent to me by a lawyer saying, hey, can you talk about this on your show? I mean, the stuff that's going on, Ted and Austin, you would be stunned, you know, as these guys. I mean, you got to remember that green stimulus is a trillion-dollar business. And, you know, Gore, it was so funny because, of course, a company was looking at this unsavory huckster's electricity bill, and they said, oh, my goodness, Al Gore has the biggest carbon footprint in the use of mankind. So he was trying to, cut back on that. But the amazing thing is these guys are calling for us to be, like, I'm actually being sued right now. I'm being called a climate denier. I'm a climate criminal. You know, Naomi Oreskes, she's a professor of earth and planetary sciences at Harvard University. She likes the idea of having me prosecuted under RICO Act, the Racketeer Influence and Corruption Organization Act, because of the fact that I am telling people that CO2 is not caused by humans. So I need to be locked up. David Suzuki has said, people that don't jump on board with the climate need to, that little demon said, people need to be locked up. I mean, that, it's amazing. None of these guys' predictions ever come true. And yet, you know, they keep saying people need to be locked up. All these climate alarmists are saying that we climate deniers need to be thrown in jail. I mean, that's pretty stunning, Ted.
Well, I didn't know you were in the middle of a lawsuit with this. It doesn't surprise me writing a book on it. But the truth of the matter is this. Anytime you go against the status quo, anytime you do something that's not in the format, anytime you decide that you don't want to be a dead fish and you don't want to float downstream and you want to swim against the current, every time you do that, people want to look at you and point fingers at you. And all of these people who have this agenda, this Luciferian, Sabbatean, Frankist agenda that's going on right now, you know, this synagogue of Satan that's doing all of this nonsense, they basically come after the people that are actually standing in the gap trying to tell the rest of the people the truth. That's why Obama is now signing the executive orders that he's basically put out through the last couple of weeks, to saying that he can control the internet, because this is what he wants to do. He doesn't want shows like this going out over satellite. He doesn't want the internet being used to tell the people the truth. They want everybody to be good little slaves. They want to go back to a feudal system. Like you said earlier, they want to drop the population back down to 500 million people. And the crazy thing about this is this. These huge global corporations that are raking in trillions of dollars in profits by doing all of this to all of us, once they kill all of us, their profits are going to be massively reduced. And that's what nobody seems to understand with this group of people. They want to kill everybody on the planet, and then they still think they're going to be having enough slaves, I guess, to do the labor and to buy their stuff that we don't. I mean, they trained all of us like a bunch of Pavlovian dogs out of Leipzig, Germany, saying you need to buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know. And that's what this whole thing, this rampant consumerism, is in the United States. And as long as you have your Doritos and your diet soda and you sit in front of the TV set in an alpha brainwave state drooling on yourself, thinking everything's great, they're happy with you. But when you start saying, well, wait a minute, you know, isn't CO2 given off by human beings? And don't plants use that? And don't plants turn that back around and create oxygen with it? Isn't this like a reciprocal relationship that God put here a long, long time ago? To like a, this is a biodome that we live in and it's supposed to be doing this. Oh, no, 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 you're polluting. Well, how am I polluting if the plants use it? It doesn't matter. You can't say that. You're going to jail. But is that not just science? No, 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 no. That's not science anymore. You're polluting. Now you're going to jail. But I'm breathing. It doesn't matter. You're still polluting. And that's where this is going. This is going to a global, feudal, dictatorial, oligarchy, growth system in which if you don't follow the mainstream line with this Saul Alinsky and the communism and all of this stuff with this one world government, one world order, Sheila, they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, guys. You're not towing your line like you're supposed to. You're being bad. So you need to get locked up too. I mean, like the guy last week who died who was fighting the IRS. Now, I pay all my taxes. I pay. That's one battle I don't want to be in. I've always paid all my taxes, and I always tell people, pay all your taxes. It doesn't matter. We can change the system, but don't break the law. They kept him in jail. He's like 77 years old. He died basically chained. He's 77 years old, dying of cancer, chained to his bed in the hospital prison. Like he's some kind of god-awful felon that's going to run somewhere and do something awful and say something before he dies. I mean, he was basically just exterminated by the system because he said something against it. And the nuttiest thing about all of this stuff, Sheila, is if we all stand together in the aggregate, there's nothing they can do but besides allow us to do what's right in God's eyes. But nobody wants to do that. We've got all these Christians all over the planet now that are scared to death. They all want to make sure they get their government handouts, and they're afraid to tell the truth from the pulpit. I'm talking to preachers now. And the laymen are afraid to go to the preacher and say, you need to tell the truth. Nobody wants to get involved. Nobody wants to wrinkle the covers. Nobody wants to rock the boat. And nobody wants to say, hey, wait a minute, guys. Maybe this isn't true. Maybe this is a lie. Maybe we need to do something else. And see, that's what we run into, Sheila. That's why I'm so happy that you've written this book on this green agenda. Tell us how we can get your book, Sheila. Give us a telephone number or Amazon contacts or bookstore contacts. How can we get your book?
Well, I really do encourage people to get this book too, Ted, because this global green gospel, it's not biblical, and yet there are tens of thousands of very willing pulpits that have cooperated in bringing in their churches, making them green churches, gullible pastors, leaders, congregants. They're swallowing this green gospel in the name of saving the planet, and this false doctrine, it's polluting people. And good old Rick Warren, Council of Foreign Relations huckster there, he actually worked in conjunction with Al Gore, and they formed this Evangelical Climate Initiative. It was a campaign by U.S. church leaders to get 99,000 churches, and that's some 33 million, about 33 or 34 million congregants, Ted, to accept this green mantra, you know, this green tsunami of globalism in their churches, going green. These churches are, I mean, what is the word evangelical and climate even doing in the same sentence? But it's an initiative and people can look it up. So where they can get the book is greengospel.ca. Very, very easy, convenient. It's a website, greengospel.ca. Just click on the order now button. It takes you automatically to Amazon. And I really do hope people get the book, Ted, because as Tim Ball, the renowned climatologist, Dr. Tim Ball said, Sheila's book effectively demolishes what you think you know. So I hope people do get it.
Well, no, I encourage all of my listeners and all of my Health Master supporters to go and order the book. You know, I very rarely do this on my show, bring somebody else in to promote their material, but this is how important what Sheila has written is. It's important that everybody reads this and wakes people up. And while you're there, buy multiple copies of the book and give it out to your friends, give it out to your pastor, so they'll all know the truth. And again, this show is sponsored by healthmasters.com. We have a newsletter that you can get that's absolutely free three times a week, and we give you all the updates as far as nutrition and what you can do from your health standpoint. We teach you how to take your blood pressure and your cholesterol and your triglycerides and your body fat and how to manage all those things naturally through dietary changes and lifestyle changes. And that's what we try to teach people, is that you can be really, really healthy, have tremendous energy, tremendous output, but you've got to start making the healthy choices. In fact, I told my mother-in-law this morning, you know, when I was talking to her before she got in the ambulance, and I talked to Sharon, and I said, you know, what we've got to do is we've got to put Shirley on some type of exercise protocol. She already eats clean, but she's 80 years old, and she's got to get stronger physically. And that's the most important thing we need to realize, is not only we need to be stronger physically, but we need to be stronger spiritually and also mentally. And we need to balance our bodies and our souls and our spirits and realize that this is a tridimensional approach that we have to being on this planet and to worshiping God and doing what we know to do. I mean, prayer is extremely important. But the Bible says in James, I know what you say and what you do, but what you do, but what you are doing and your prayer and all these things need to tie together, because works without action is meaningless. And we all need to get together, and we need to stop listening to that nonsense Scofield Bible, which teaches Zionism and the takeover of the planet and all the crazy things that it preaches from the Word of God, which aren't even in the Word of God. They weren't even put in there until the late 1800s when Scofield, through his lawyer buddies up there in New York City, put this whole thing together and promoted this through Oxford Publishing out of England. And we need to realize that this whole thing is an agenda. This thing is something they're trying to put together. It's been going on for hundreds of years. It's not getting any better for us, because we are falling in as victims with the Hegelian dialect, with the Pavlovian teaching, with all the stuff that came out of Leipzig, Germany, and they are literally programming us, aren't they, Sheila, through the media and through what they've been telling us over and over and over again, just like Goebbels did in Germany.
Oh, yeah, these bought and paid for mainstream talking bobbleheads over there at Clown News Network. And You know, it's true. These guys are going to tell you what they want you to know. And so it's important to reject this green gospel, because what it is, Ted, it's sort of a very eclectic mishmash of pantheism, humanism, atheism. It's everything rolled into one absolute denying the creator of the universe. Instead of the creator, people are worshiping the creation. And that's a problem for me. So, you know, God made man, male and female, in his image. No other terrestrial life form bears the image of God, or it's, you know, it's, that's a priority with human beings. So the Lord is in control. He's given us, you know, the mandate to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over everything. But these Gaia 11 occultists, they want you to be at the bottom of the totem pole. They want the creation worship. Because as Al Gore says in his book, Earth in the Balance, Gaia is a breathing, living, sentient being. This is the earth goddess Gaia. I mean, hey, if you want to know who Gaia is, Ted, just look at your, well, I know you don't drink Starbucks, but look at your coffee cup. That is Mother Gaia, the earth goddess Gaia. Very pagan, very pantheistic, and absolutely contrary. It's absolutely worshiping the earth. And, you know, like many environmentalists say, you know, the earth knows best. Nature knows best. Mother Earth knows best. No, this is not Mother knows best. This is God is in control and man's in an image and we have dominion. So don't be fooled by this insidious, nefarious agenda, folks.
No, you're absolutely right, Sheila. Now, one more thing I want to mention. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be on Hagman & Hagman on Friday night for the full 3 hours. So my show tomorrow, I'm going to play a rerun of today's show with Sheila because it's so good, tomorrow's show. And tomorrow night, I'll be live on with Hagman for 3 full hours, and we'll be covering a lot of the same stuff that Sheila and I have been talking about today. Plus, I've got like 60 articles that I'm trying to get through for the show tomorrow night. So we've got a whole bunch of new information that'll be happening tomorrow night on the Hagman and Hagman show. It will be live. And tomorrow, if you have anybody who needs to know anything about what's going on with this green gospel nonsense, you make sure they re-listen to this show tomorrow and make sure they listen to Sheila's words that she's giving you, and make sure they get a copy of her book, because we're all out here, you know, with our necks sticking out saying, hey, by the way, you know, we're going to tell the truth regardless of any of this nonsense. And see, we're out here on the cutting line, for the front edge, whatever you want to call it, telling you guys, hey, wait a minute, you don't have to be a slave. You don't have to be a mindless minion. You don't have to do any of this stuff. But what you have to do is you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve God, or you're going to serve the state, or you're going to serve Satan. You're going to serve somebody, because we're here for that. We're here as a purpose. I mean, God gave us incredible abilities because he created us in his image, and he wants to have fellowship with us, and he wants to have a friendship with us. He wants to have a covenant with us based on the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing that we need to realize, is this is not about me. It's not about Sheila. It's about our relationship with God. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And all of these people are coming in with these pantheistic views of these many gods that started way back with Nimrod, way back in the beginning, because this is what the fallen angels wanted us to believe, that there were multiple gods. And, you know, earlier this week, we had we had Doc Marquis on, and he did a whole thing on Halloween and how Halloween was brought into origin, what Halloween really is. Listen to that show in the archives. Listen to it on iTunes. And it goes into detail about how all of this stuff is exactly what Sheila said. It goes all the way back to Nimrod again. It goes back to Genesis chapter 6. It goes back to the fallen angels again. And all of this is about the Gaia worship, the worship of man, the worship of the planet. And it's all paganism is what it is. It's all paganism, and it's not any good. It's not of God. So just everybody needs to be aware of that. So please listen to the show tomorrow night with Hagman and Hagman. Go to our website, healthmasters.com, and sign up for our free newsletter if you want to hear what we had to say today, if you liked it. If you didn't like what we had to say today, well, then don't get the newsletter because it's more of the same. I don't really know how to phrase that. But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying our best to stay out here on the cutting edge and giving you all these phenomenal guests. Next week's lineup is going to be phenomenal also as far as who we can bring in and have them teach you guys the truth about what's happening here and globally. And by the way, when you come on with Steve Quayle in the next few minutes, Sheila, tell him I said hi. Anything else you want to say in closing, Sheila, because we're running out of time quickly.
Well, you're so right. You mentioned the truth there. And, of course, George Orwell said it really the best, didn't he? He said, during times of universal deceit, well, that's where we're at right now. He said, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And that is so true because right now, telling the truth is hate speech. So, you know, that can get us locked up, and who would have ever thought? But the only thing I'll end on is saying this. The Green Agenda, folks, it's not about saving the planet. It's not about being a good environmental steward. It is not... The issue is not the issue. It's not what you think. It's not this benevolent, nice little eco-friendly sustainability. I mean, it sounds all very benevolent, but it's not. It's far from it. And again, I mean, Satan's always tried to advance his evil end-time agenda on Earth. He's always been jealous of God and his creation so much. I mean, look at so much, in fact, that he, in the ultimate form of a very egotistical, I think it was a form of self-exaltation, which is what Obama's doing, the good old jihadist in the slaughterhouse. He's trying to overtake God's throne, and that was the ultimate coup d'etat that earned him a one-way ticket out of heaven into hell as his final destination. And I'm just, you know, that's basically everybody's final destination if they don't get right with God. Jesus Christ is really the only, all of the roads are dead ends. So if you're not saved today, Ted, if you've got listeners and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's really the answer and the only answer to all of this globally orchestrated, satanically induced meltdown.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, I'm going to mention one thing here. Obviously, this is going to kind of, some of you don't believe this, but you know, it's funny in the global circles of the people who believe in UFOs, which I am one of those people that believe in UFOs, because I believe they're real, because I don't believe that Lucifer was from around here, nor the angels. So if you want to call them aliens or angels, whatever. I asked Chuck Missler one time about spaceships, and he goes, well, Ted, why do you think we can tell angels what they're supposed to travel around in? And I said, well, I hadn't really thought about that, Chuck. I guess you're right. But here's the whole point about all of this thing with these angels and aliens and all the things that we're talking about today. I mean, all of these are created beings. They're all not God. And so we can't be running around worshiping these beings that are not God. That's the most important thing. And this whole Gaia worship and all of the stuff that we're doing is bringing our focus away from God, because we were created in God's image. We have souls. Nothing else has souls on this planet. And it says in the book of Revelation, in the end days, in the end times, they will traffic in men's souls. And see, this is what's going on with all of this global agenda. This is what's going on with the human sacrifices. It's all about controlling the energy field around the planet as far as the consciousness around the planet. And see, we need to have a Christ consciousness. This whole planet needs to have that. We need to have love and respect. And we need to have, you know, we need to love one another, because God said above all things else is love. And we have to realize that. And these guys don't want that. They want to destroy us. Lucifer comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But for some reason, they think he's the good guy. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I said this one time on Hagman's show. I said, if this guy is so good, if Lucifer is so good and you want to worship him, why does he require the drinking of blood and the sacrifice of infants and the slaughtering of the innocent? Why is that okay? Why is that supposed to be good in anybody's vocabulary? See, that's what they don't want to look at. They don't want to look at their own religion and all of the stuff that was sacrificed to Baal and to Moloch and the 60 million aborted innocents that we've had in this country. Nobody wants to talk about any any of that stuff, Sheila, and why all of that energy is being set up into that astral plane like that. Nobody wants to go into detail about what the total agenda of this globalist is, and it's going to be a giant, giant kill-off of this planet. And the sad part about it is they want to make us believe that it's for the good of the planet. What's he supposed to kill everybody for the good of the planet? They're worried about certain species going extinct. What if we kill a bunch of humans? Like right now, I've talked about this on your show before. I'm really proud of my Northern European ancestry, my parents being out of Europe. I'm proud of that. I mean, the white race is about 6% of the population now on the entire planet. It's being completely decimated. The European ancestry of all of us is being decimated. And now we have a massive influx of millions of Muslims into Northern Europe, which is going to completely destroy the demographics of that entire country and their entire lineage, their entire background. How does this thing tie in with the Muslims? Is that just more of the same? More of the same with trying to destroy the planet? What's going on with this massive Muslim immigration? How is that affecting all of us, Sheila?
Well, I believe that's part of the end time Antichrist battle is, you know, when you look at the Mahdi and you look at what they believe, a third of the Revelations tells us a third of mankind will be slaughtered. That word, when you look it up in the Greek, is literally bloodshed and slaughter to a mass scale, Ted, that we've never seen. Jesus said there's never even going to be anything in the history of mankind. So he said, you know, unless those days weren't cut short, there'd be no flesh left alive. We are coming into the time that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, Luke 13, Mark 9. This is all rolled up into one sandwich. And then on the outside bread, you have Revelation, Daniel coming. It's all coming to pass. Prophecy is on fire in the world right now, folks. And the Muslims, this ISIS, it's all part of this globally orchestrated satanic plan. You know, they breed like rabbits. And Ted, we're not going to even be, there is going to be no white people left anyway to worry about, because Muslims have like 8, 9, 10, 12 kids. And of course, you know, no one's talking about the butchering of the brethren, the slaughtering of the innocents. No one in the pulpits, you know, these cesspools of sodomy, they don't bat an eye in the pulpits. It's crickets chirping in the church.
Oh, Sheila, I wish I could argue with you. I wish that there are some good pastors out there. We got Chuck Baldwin, we got Rodney Howard Brown. They're telling the truth. They're good people. And they're actually preaching the same stuff that we're talking about today from the pulpit. And so, other than that, I don't really know of any. If you guys know of some more, send me some lists and I'll mention their names too. But you're absolutely right. The vast majority of the population, and our pastor, Pastor Jay from First Baptist Church in the Mall, he's pretty good too. He really went into the Muslim invasion last year. But the reality is this, the vast majority of churches in the United States simply don't want to touch this topic because it's not politically correct. Sheila, one more time. We're about out of time. Give me your website where they can get the book.
People can get a copy of the book, Green Gospel, at, very easy, greengospel.ca. And if they want a PDF form of it, like basically it comes in a, you know, I like a physical book, but if people like the ebook, that's available as well on the website, Ted. And Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, Paul McGuire, Dr. Michael Lake, they all wrote endorsements for the book, and Dr. Timothy Ball, the renowned climatologist, did the foreword. So, yeah, it's a great book, and I wish I could drive a Kenworth truck and give books away free just so people can get the information, but, you know, it costs me money to put it together. So that's the only thing I want to do is just recoup the cost. But it's 7 years of research going into one book, so I think that's a bargain.
Well, absolutely, I recommend everybody gets a copy of the book. And again, I'll be back on with Hagman & Hagman tomorrow night live. Also, I'll be back on live again Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. And then, of course, all next week again live. So, Austin, do you have any final comments or things you want to say before we go run out of time?
No, it's a great show. Great being on the show with you, Sheila.
Thank you, Austin.
Well, I've
learned a lot already.
And Sheila, you can come on my show anytime. You know that. I love doing your show. And please, everybody, contact Sheila, get a copy of her book. Let's make this thing happen. Let's get this green agenda erased. At least let's slow it down the best we possibly can. And let's believe that Jesus Christ is still in charge, which I believe that with all of my heart, and that prayer still changes things. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow night on Hagman & Hagman. God bless you. Thanks again, Sheila. Thanks, Austin.
on Facebook.